Okay, this session, you get the chance to hear from one of the few people I've ever known who's done an EAL 5+. That's pretty impressive. Has anyone here done anything more than a 4? Oh. Oh, yes. Yes. I've done a 4+, but that was extremely hard. I wouldn't want to go any further. So let's welcome Fabien Duboiser from Thales, and he's going to talk to us about vulnerabilities and certifications and how we can marry those two together. Perfect topic to follow Valerie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being there. I'm pretty impressed by this new ICMC. It brings a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of interesting topics. So, and I guess we are contributing to that. So, you can also applaud yourself, I guess. So, the topic today is going to be reconciling vulnerability with security response. So we have a security certification, and I guess all products can have some vulnerability, and I think there is kind of a lack of process or things, information, and maybe there is room for improvement. So to discuss about it, we're going to go through the following agenda. So first, discussing about the certification overview. So why do we do certification, and the new trends in the certification, the security, and so on. Then we're going to discuss about the security vulnerability, what can be a security vulnerability, the different type of security vulnerabilities, how it happens into the development of the product lifecycle. So it can happen during development, or it can happen during evaluation. So we're going to try to see what is the impact. After, so it's a concept that is not well defined into the FIPS 140, but I guess well defined in some other schemes like PCI HSM and common criteria. So I'm going to speak a little bit about my experience into this part. And discussing about assurance continuity, so typically you have a certification, there is a problem, and how you deal with it. And the conclusion, because I guess it's nice to have a conclusion during a presentation, I will try to give some opportunities for FIPS 140 and discussing about an open issue. So why do we need security certification? Why do we need a stamp? I guess everyone is doing certification here, some for living, some for just selling their products. It usually comes from the market requirement, and as well to have a common approach and recognition to assess the security and provide a level of assurance. There are multiple reasons to do a security certification, but I pinpoint those two because for me they are kind of the most generic and important. But those two are made of the two constraints, which is the time to market. You need an efficient response. You need people to be like prepared to endorse, like, because it's a huge load, huge amount of work, amount of testing, and so on. And you need to be as well at the state of the art. So sometimes, yeah, and we can see precisely with a FIPS 140 certification, you need to state precisely all the cryptographic algorithms. So, on this certification, it's well done, I would say. So, we are in a changing landscape. There are more new technologies that are coming. It's no more the same thing. Everything is connected. We are discussing about Internet of Things. You can now have the possibility of directly update your software once the product is on the field. Before, it was not really possible, not everything was connected. FIPS 140 was, I think, written in the 90s, and there were not such a big connection. So we have a lot of possibilities nowadays, and I think we need to come up with a smart way of doing the things, because we can see the global trends of the market going towards something that, okay, we have a secure product, we have a hardware that is very secure, we can put, I would say, whatever software inside it, but if there is a problem, I need to respond to it, I need to connect, I have a lot of possibilities. So. And even there are some trends that, for instance, in the smartphones, they are speaking about just having the hardware and downloading directly the software with the profile. So typically I can take whoever smartphone and directly load my account and use it and after give him back. So we are thinking about those things. Now I think we need to have the security certification that would follow these trends. Another thing of interest is all the development processes that are more flexible. We have better tools, so we can do better source code review. We log on all the problems, we analyze them, we capitalize on them. I'm working for Thales eSecurity, we have different kind of HSM. Sometimes people are working only on the payment, sometimes people are working only on the general purpose, but with this kind of tools we can log on the things and spread and communicate the problem. So it's very, very interesting, but it's completely different from what we used to do. So that's a good thing to, I guess, say. And as well, the important thing is that we have more frequent releases, and that brings a lot of, I would say, confusion or like we don't know what is the correct version, what we need to do on that or that. So we are more agile, I would say, and that's good. The data protection is critical. So we see there a lot of biometrics coming, the payment information, that is now we can pay with the smartphone. We're going to be able to pay maybe with the biometrics as well. But in this situation, we see a merging between the safety and security that needs to be addressed. There are some open standards for that, defining the correct elements for the security, but it's new problematics, and so far we have addressed the security problem. Even though there is a changing landscape, there's going to be more safety that are coming, but it's not the topic of this presentation today. And finally, with all those improvements, we have more attacks that can happen, and the attackers benefit from the past experience, they have better tools. You can learn on the web directly how to attack your product, so it can be way more easy. So now, what about the security vulnerability that can happen in the product lifecycle? So I divided into four phases, classical four phases, I would say. Development, evaluation, certification, and operational phase. If it happens during the development, it's low friction, it's included in the development process, and we need to prioritize the security vulnerability, which I would say is going to be just an update of a feature or whatever. If it happens during the evaluation, it's still low friction, it's included in the development process, it will most likely delay the evaluation, but the only thing is that it must be covered because now the lab is aware of it. If it happens during the certification, so discovered by the certification body, it's going to be a medium friction. You can still cover it, it's still covered by the development process, but the only point is that most likely it's going to delay the certification. Now the biggest problem is if it happens during the operational phase, it's very high friction, you need to have assurance continuity. But now, depending on the certification you are doing, you don't have necessarily a quick answer, a quick knowledge of how you can do it. So if it happens in the context of FIPS 140, if it's on a non-security relevant feature, because on the FIPS 140 you have a distinction between security relevant and non-security relevant. If it happens on a non-security relevant feature, it's going to be a one sub. So one sub is a very lightweight process, but still it can be a problem of security that is treated with a lightweight process. So I would say it's very good. Now if it happens on a FIPS security relevant feature, it's not the same. You need to go to a re-verification of your cryptographic algorithm, authentication method is dealt inside the free sub, which is a more heavy process. You need to reopen all the tasks. Or you can still not redo the functional testing, the physical testing, but still it's a lot of things to do. And sometimes the product has a security breach, but it can be mitigated by some rules or requires an update. But most likely, you are in the operational phase, there is a security vulnerability, but if you look closer to what happened, generally, well, recently with Ardid, but with a lot of security vulnerabilities, most likely just a tiny bit, a tiny line of code that receives that leads to a big problem. And sometimes you correct it, you update like just one or two things, sometimes it's just a small package, and depending on what it's going to touch, you're going to go in one sub or three subs. So I'm not convinced. I think we can do better. And it's very necessary to do it, and it's time critical as well. So I think we need to have an efficient vulnerability response to correct the non-security vulnerability that can be public or internal. Because you have to have a secure product. We are selling security products and we want to have the state of the art. And we commit ourselves when we sell our products. We engage our reputation. And on the other part, we need to have a time-efficient process, because as soon as you say to your customer, hey, I have a security vulnerability, how can I... The customer is going to say, hey, yeah, okay, nice, but what did you do? What are your plans? So you try to start to do some things. And sometimes it's complicated, because you're going to say, okay, I need to go into a threesome. It's going to take 3 months, 6 months. But in the meantime, their products are exposed. The vulnerability can be accessed. And I think someone on one of the talks say most likely the attacks happen on a product that everyone knows already there is an attack, and you didn't update or correct it in the right time. So if you compare now how is performed the assurance continuity depending on all the schemes. So I just selected the three biggest, no offense to any certifiers or people that's going to like one certification or not, but I selected FIPS 140, which is the subject of this conference, Common Criteria and PCI. So we're going to have a quick look and overview of how it is dealt inside it. So FIPS 140, as I said, if it's a one sub, if it's a fix on the non-security relevant feature. Otherwise, it's a free sum, which is a heavy process, long, and the biggest point is that it's similar to a recertification. Sometimes I have my product, and I just want to update a big chunk of things, adding a new security feature, and I go as well into a free sum. And I guess, is it normal that we have like updating for a security vulnerability, and you go as well into a similar thing with someone that's going to present his product with a lot of things inside it, a lot of updates? I'm not sure. And still, the security update must be certified. In the meantime, you are non-FIPS certified. For the common criteria, so So I work with a different scheme in Europe. And there is a dedicated process. So there is the dedicated process from the common criteria that defines it, but also this is an instantiation from each country. And most likely they have a process, it's a dedicated thing. You go towards them with a dedicated inquiry to deal with this. It's up to the lab that's going to verify, that's going to assess if it's a security patch or just a functional patch. And depending on that, there is some additional tests, but everything is well defined and born. But still, you need to do the security update, and in the meantime, you lose your certification. But yeah, in the common criteria, as soon as you receive your security certificate, you already lose it. So it's a little bit a different things. And finally, PCI, which I would say I really like it. The thing is defined in the PTS program guide version 1.5, and it defines the process for dealing with the security breach. And you work with the PCI lab to mitigate or prevent security breach or compromise. And there is a continuity of the certification. You need to tell them 24 hours when you discover the security breach. And everyone is working together to come up with a solution. And I like this approach. Now, what are challenges? So we need to disclose a non-security issue. It's going to be a big thing because you know it. When can you claim that there is a security problem in your product? You need to present some stuff to the end customer. The releases are delayed until the certification is obtained. So sometimes you cannot operate because some clients cannot upgrade because they need the certification. This is a problem. So there is a delta amount of time that can be problematic. And most likely the latest version is more secure than the certified version. So it brings some kind of problematic, like, do we really want to ignore the certification status? I'm not completely sure. I think we still need the security certification. But we see a trend that, for instance, some common criteria certification for the payment is not necessary no more really perform, and it's performed through EMV code, the assessment, because it's more reactive. So this is an actual fact. So if we don't want that the security certification just disappear, we need to adapt to that thing. And my proposition is continuous improvement still. So a dedicated process for the security vulnerabilities that is distinct from 3 sub-certification and 1 sub, something completely different. So I don't know, maybe we can call it like 2 sub or whatever. That's going to be time efficient to reduce the impact of the vulnerability, but you are not in the same queue as the people that are doing a free sub and adding a new feature of their product. We can come with an update package that contains an impact analysis report, so meaning like you have identified precisely what is inside, what is the problem, and you just say, okay, here you have a template, you give it, people can just review it very quickly, assess it. And I really like the approach of templates, because even for the report, you do a certification, FIPS 140 certification. If we have a report for the certification, that would be perfect. A template for the report, sorry. Because you have a common approach and everyone can have a better vision. And so finally, what does the laboratory need to produce? I would say something light and efficient. Ideally, the impact analysis report with some comments. And I just wanted to remind everyone that finally the labs are accredited by the NVLAP. And And I think we can trust them. They did a good job so far. So I just have an open issue, and after it's going to be free for room for question. I hope not too much. My open question is the product versioning. Sometimes it's a problematic. How can we manage the certificates for product versions that are susceptible to a security vulnerability? And what about users that are not impacted? Sometimes it's like it's not precisely defined. I'm sure we can do something better, but it was just to open like a new thing that we can do. So thank you.
I probably have a unique perspective on this because for my company I manage both the security vulnerability advisories and also the certifications.
Mm-hmm.
There's a strong temptation because of the things you mentioned, the costs and the three subs and things like that, to silently patch vulnerabilities and not say anything about it, which is not the right approach. What we end up doing most of the time, fix it and hand it out to customers and say, we'll get to a revalidation at some point in the future. You can choose to run this or you can choose to not run it, but I'm not going to FIPS validate every single software release I come out with.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is our own problem because we do level 2, and so tiny changes to code, of course, invalidate the FIPS certificate, but I know of vendors that are silently patching and essentially not saying anything because it's too cumbersome.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Finally, we have that situation that occurs. Another thing can be you just reduce your scope, such as if you do an update, it doesn't impact any secure feature. So finally, what do we want? We want secure products on the field, or we want just products that is not necessarily secure and you just sell to the end customer the real product that is not certified? So I'm like, something we can do.
So to come up with a scheme like this, to have this quick way of continued assurance, I think you have to lay down the basis in the initial validation or evaluation. Like, so in CC we have this law remediation where you look at the corresponding procedures once to make sure that they are properly working.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like this in FIPS 140-2 currently, but it's not even required that the vendor comes up with own functional testing,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a no-go. So if instruments like that would be there, you could say, okay, describe your change, make sure that all your flaw remediation or whatever it would be called is properly working, repeat your at least a minimum set of your functional testing that was evaluated or tested during the evaluation or validation process to have some more confidence that this update process is following at least some rules or some already qualified procedures.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
One more minute.
Okay. Comment or question?
It just, I don't see, how do I say, the complaint and the response process actually completed here. Okay, you've come up with suggestions, there's some response here, but to these various schemes, I'm assuming this is not something, this is like a long-standing issue, so where's the response? I mean, where's...
I guess so far my work was just pinpointing that there is a problem,
yeah,
and we can do something.
Yes.
Now, of course, I can probably bring it to. I guess maybe there are people interesting to work on that. So.
Mm-hmm. More directly back to this
Because that's my question, because I'm assuming if you're talking about if it's kind of evolved to the point where everybody's got their workarounds, that's telling me that's a mature problem.
So I guess, yeah, I can come with a solution at the CMUF, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Do you want me to move this?
Sure.
If I can.
Oh, no, I just set it on top.
Oh, okay. I don't know if the laptop might go to sleep if I do that, but that's okay because I'm not moderating the next one.
No? Boring as hell.
Oh, I didn't see a phone, no. If I can move this just for a moment.
No.
No. I don't see one.
What is it?
The angry horde. They're all they're emerging.
Oh yeah. That's weird.
I'll give you a 10-minute notification and then 5 seconds.
Okay. All right. We need my notes. Where are my notes?
Not working. Oh. Kind of a weird color too.
Yeah, it is a weird color.
When you're using an apple.
Isn't it?
It is.
Oh, I hate this.
Shall I?